Pastor Michael E. Tonnen. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Tonnen, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Tonnen. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
Father, may we be doers of your Word and not just hearers. Jesus' name, amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord. Bethlehem! Oh, that sounds good. Let's do that again. Bethlehem! Amen. We want to thank you once again for being in the household of the Lord. I want to thank Reverend Ford for filling in for me last Sunday. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise for him. I was doing my moderator's duty. And this month we're going to continue in the month that we've entitled, Make Him Known Through the Resurrection. Make Him Known Through the Resurrection. This morning, we're going to be sharing a message entitled, Stretching Out to Your Destiny. Right. Stretching Out to Your Destiny. And we're going to be looking at Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 4. Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 4, would you please stand in reverence to the Word of God, stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the Word of God. Say to your neighbor this morning, neighbor, or neighbor, we need to stand on this Word. It's two slides. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. One, two, three. Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. This morning we're sharing a message again entitled Stretching Out to Your Destiny. Stretching Out to Your Destiny. And we're going to share on around 3 points as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. And we're going to talk about stretching for a blessing. We're going to talk about striving for a blessing. And we're going to talk about strengthening for a blessing. This message especially tailored for Bethlehem, stretching for a building, striving for a building, and strengthening for a building. We want Christians to know that Christians should strive for a blessing. Amen? Amen. Christians should strive for a blessing. When I talk about stretching, I thought about what athletes do, particularly NFL athletes. Before every game, you'll see them out early on the field and you'll see them before the game is played. You'll see them out stretching. And I am told that because they stretch, that they play a better game because they stretch beforehand. And I thought about that when I began to think about stretching out to your destiny. Because many times, if God has something for you to do, it's always going to be some kind of stretch. In other words, it's not going to be easy. You have to be willing to stretch for it. You have to be willing to work for it. You have to be willing to put in your part to see God bless you. We talked about a whole month of giving, and there's some folk that had to stretch to give. They had to take God at his word, and they had to try him. And they tried him, and it was a stretch for them, and they tried him, and now they're reaping the benefits of the benefits that you get when you stretch to where God wants you to be. Right. Talking about stretching out to your destiny. And undoubtedly this morning, you know, we're talking about this morning about building a new building. And if we're going to build a new building, we're going to have to stretch. Some have said that we've been talking about it for so long. Well, now the time for talk is over. Now it's time to stretch. Right. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, it's time to stretch in Jesus' name. It's time to stretch. But before I get into the context of our message this morning, I want to give you a little background information on the text. Because in the text, we're going to talk about stretching. In the text, we're going to talk about striving. In the text, we're going to talk about strengthening. But before we do that, we've got to learn about that song that the writer tells this barren woman to sing a song. And I'll tell you a little bit about that song. He says, sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song. Shout for joy, you who have never, were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. And then verse 2 says, enlarge your place of your tent. But first of all, it tells this barren woman to sing. And it tells this barren woman to sing because there's a change that's about to happen in her life. There's a change. Many of us don't really know how to relate to a barren woman, but a woman who's not able to give children. It can be a very desolate place when you dream to have a family and you get married and everybody is saying, when you gonna give me my grandbaby? I can imagine that's what Will and Kate is going through as the whole nation is looking for an heir. And in this text, this woman had been bare. And because this woman has been bare, she was in a sad situation. In other words, her womb was dead. And this is why we put it in the resurrection series, because God tells her to sing because he's about to resurrect her womb. Hello, somebody. And she's about to be so fruitful that people are going to forget about those desolate years in her life. And I believe that that's what God is saying to Bethlehem. Oh, we've been unfruitful for the last 20 years, but he says right now to sing unto the Lord. He says right now to sing unto the Lord, because I'm about to resurrect the fruitfulness for you to build. I'm about to resurrect some things that should have been done, some things that other folk have already done. In the text, her peers had already had babies, but God says, sing first, because I'm about to bless you, and you're going to be blessed as someone else who has had children. As a matter of fact, the first thing you need to do is you need to worship me. You need to praise my holy name, because when you worship me, you put me in my place. And when I'm in my place, I can move some places for you down here on earth. In Jesus' name, say to your neighbor, neighbor, holy neighbor, it's time to sing up in here. And you may be here, and you may not be concerned about the building. Maybe you're not here about the building, but you know what it's like to be in a desolate place. You know what it's like to want to do something, and you can't do it. You have a great desire to do something. Everybody else around you is doing it, but you can't do it because you're in a barren place. You're in a place where it seems like there's no hope. A place, that is dead. A place, into which you wish you could be resurrected from your place. And God has sent me here this morning to let you know that he still has resurrection power, and he can raise you up out of the darkness of this moment. He can raise you up out of the darkness of this last year, the darkness of this last 2 years, the darkness of the last 5, the darkness of the last 10. Oh, he can raise you up out of your barren state. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, are you ready to be raised this morning? And if you're ready to be raised this morning, the one thing that you have to do, even before you start the stretch, the one thing that you have to do, even before you start to strengthen some things going on in your life, the one thing that you've got to do is you've got to learn to sing in Jesus' name. And you've got to be, I believe, like that poem that the great writer says, I know why the caged bird sings. You know, if you're here today and you feel caged up, God says, I have the power to get you out of that cage. But you've got to learn to sing. Yeah. Hello, somebody. You better learn to praise him right now. You better learn him. Learn to say hallelujah anyhow in Jesus' name. I know why the caged Christian sang. Oh, maybe that's what Paul and Silas did, and the Reverend talked about in that prison while they were in jail. And you'd have thought after they got beaten, after they got worn and torn, you'd have thought they would be cursing some folk out and mad. But yet the Bible says that, these caged birds began to praise the Lord around about midnight. They began to sing hymns around about midnight. Somebody here, you may be in your midnight. You may be in your cage. You've been torn up and worn up and worn out by the devil. But God says this morning, don't let the devil take your song. In Jesus' name, sing unto the Lord a new song. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, I don't think you're getting it. You better get some song in your heart. In Jesus' name. Because God tells this barren woman where there would be no hope, this barren woman that would not be able to have a family, this barren woman that was desolate, and this barren woman, God tells her, and verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, and do not lack, do not hold back. Oh, lengthen your cord, strengthen your saints. In modern day terms, he's saying to that single woman that don't even may not even have a husband to go out and get your house in the suburbs with four rooms to have children. Hello, somebody. Your step of faith is that you have to stretch for your blessing. Your step of faith is that if you believe it, oh, you've got to manifest what you believe. It's an issue of faith. I told you, and I've been telling you all the 5 years that I've been here, that building's not going to be built because you know it all. That building's going to be built by faith. Our deacon stood, Deacon Ross, I remember in a business meeting, and he used that word faith, that that's going to be how it's going to be built. And another Deacon Jackson went to the banker, and the banker said, when y'all going to get out of the way and let the Lord build that building? We're talking about faith up in here. And do you have faith this morning? Ask your neighbor. Neighbor, do you have faith this morning? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I told you before that if you want the train to come, you better learn how to build the tracks in Jesus' name. There's a story that's told about the mountains over in the Alps that the people wanted the train to come, and they literally built the tracks before there was a train to put on the tracks. Now that's true faith. This morning we're going to show you the tracks that God has given us, God has blessed us with. We were going to have to spend so much money for an architect, anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 just for the drawing. But God has given us the drawing for what? Free. Hello, somebody. God is trying to tell you something right now. All right. Right now, y'all knew how to sing, y'all were doing it. We're going to get it done. We've got to stretch. We've got to take these plans and we've got to do something with it. We've got to take these plans and we've got to literally enlarge the place of our tents. And this is what the plans that we're going to show you this morning. This is the enlarging of our tents. This is what I've been saying for years. I've been telling some of you, you've been parking in our new building over there. Hello, somebody. In order for this to be done, we've got to enlarge the place of our tents. I'm reminded of that prayer that Jabez prayed. Oh, Jabez cried out to the Lord of Israel and said, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territories. And that's the prayer we've got to pray this morning, Lord, that you would bless us and that you would enlarge our territory. Lord, you've given us the plan. You've written it up. This is our step of faith. And now, Father, we've got to enlarge our territory. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, it's time to enlarge in Jesus' name. Stretch out Bethlehem to your destiny. Not only are you going to have to stretch, but you have to strive. But point number two talks about striving for a blessing. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. And it says what? Do not hold back. Hello, somebody. There's some folk that's been holding back. Hello, somebody. I said, there's some folk that's been holding back. You've been holding back because you haven't been giving to the building fund. Only $30 a month. Hello, somebody. That's a step of faith for you to say that God can do this. And we're going to believe by faith and we're going to give our seed. Our seed, this is seed money. Our seed. And we're going to look and step back and see God work. We're going to look and step back and see him move. But there's been some folk that's been holding back and not supporting what we're trying to do. Don't hold back. Say to your neighbor, neighbor!
Neighbor!
Oh, neighbor!
Don't hold back.
Don't hold back. In Jesus' name. There's some people that hold back because they're in rebellion, and there's some other folk that hold back because they don't know who they are. And I was reminded of this in a poem entitled Our Greatest Fear. And the poem says, our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate, but that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, handsome, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightening about shrinking so that others won't feel insecure around you. You were born to make manifest the glory of God within you. It is not just in some, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we consciously give other folk permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fears, our presence automatically liberates others. In other words, stop holding back in Jesus' name. We can get this done. We can be a better church. We can be a more brilliant church. We can build a magnificent edifice for this place and for this time, not only for our generation, but for generations to come. Don't be afraid of the greatness that God has put on the inside of this church. Don't be afraid of the greatness that God has put on the inside of you. Don't be afraid of what God has for this church. Many churches, don't grow because they like being small. Hello, somebody. They want to stay small. They like the little intimate setting. We want to stay small. Hello, somebody. But you're not serving the world by being small because you're not small. Hello, somebody. Bethlehem, there's a great anointing and appointing that is upon this church, a place that I've been trying to lead us to. There's a great revival that can come right through this church. But we've got to be willing to stop holding back. We've got to be willing to give God our everything. I said we've got to be willing to give God our everything in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, God is calling for a full commitment. A full commitment. Stop holding back. Stop, listening to the devil in your life. And there's some folk, not only are there buildings that need to be built, but there's ministry. There's some folk that are holding back in positions that they shouldn't be in because God has called you up to a greater level. But yet you're holding back. You're not serving the world by holding back. You're not serving the world by being in rebellion against God. So God says, do not hold back. Don't hold back anything. Don't hold back your money. Don't hold back your marriage. Don't hold back your gifts, talents, and abilities. Don't hold back because God put it in you. He birthed it in you for such a time as this, such a time as now. And he wants to change the world right here from Paul's Valley in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Am I preaching to myself? Maybe it's just me then. Hello, but I don't think it's just me. I think it's all of us. We all could do better. We all could be better. We all could obey the word of God better. We all could be transformed into the image of God more. We all can stop gossiping, stop cursing, stop lying, stop cheating, stop pointing at our brothers at the speck in his eye and not taking care of the plank in your own eye. Hello, somebody. Stop holding back. Hello, somebody. Strive for the blessing. Don't you know there's a blessing in obedience?
There's a blessing in obedience, and I don't know if this is a good time to let you know that I'm blessed, because usually during the pastor's anniversary time, pastors try to pull themselves down. If they want to get more money, they wear their old suits. Hello, somebody. They pour themselves down. They don't shine their corny. They wear their old shoes. But because I obeyed the word of God, I am blessed beyond measure. I go to places, you know, I go to places because I don't hold back, because God has the right to change my address, and he has, and he took me from a place, that I love, a place that I didn't want to go from, my hometown, Dallas, Texas. He took me, I heard his call, he took me from that place that I love, from that church that I love, and he started me out in the ministry, and yet, I'm blessed, and blessed beyond measure, because I hadn't hold back anything. I didn't hold back my address. I didn't hold back my occupation. You think I want to be a preacher? I ain't want to be no preacher, like some of y'all don't want to be a preacher. Hello, somebody. Some of our best preachers are out there. Hello, I don't mean a medal. But I couldn't hold anything back from the Lord, and because I don't hold anything back from the Lord doesn't hold anything back from me. Hello, somebody. And I go to cities and places where pastors of mega churches, and I show up there standing, talking to them, smiling, looking as good as they do. Hello, somebody. Because I'm blessed beyond measure. God will bless you when you don't hold back. That's one of the things that I wish I could get you to see as a pastor. If you obey him fully, if you obey him completely, the windows of heaven will open and pour out blessings, and you don't have room enough to receive. Have you ever reached that point where you say, I have enough? Woo-wee. I have enough. Hello, somebody. That's being blessed. Hello, somebody. But you won't reach that place if you're holding back. You give this part of your life, but you hold this part of your life. You give this part of your life, but you hold this part of your life. God says, I want everything. Hello, say to your neighbor. Neighbor, oh neighbor, what does God want? Everything. He wants everything. He wants everything. And I'm a blessed man all year round. Thank you, Deacon, for telling them to give, and they need to do it all year. I'm blessed all year round. I go to places that I shouldn't go. I'm in places that I shouldn't be in. Because God has blessed me, because I hadn't held anything back from him. And he wants to bless you too. But you are holding. Hello, somebody. Some of you are holding back your dime from God. Can you not give God a dime on every, not just a dime on a dollar? And he says he's going to open the windows of heaven. The New Testament, the NIV says he's going to open the floodgates of heaven and bless you. Oh, that's one of the greatest investments that you need to make in this lifetime if you want to be blessed. Hello, somebody. Don't hold back. Say to your neighbor again, neighbor, oh neighbor, don't hold back. Give him your everything. The single person that's listening right now, and you've been compromising in your body. You want the Lord to send you a holy and godly person, but you're sleeping around with the devil. And you're holding your body back, and God can't bless you with the right one. And that's why you're spending most of your time with the wrong one, because you're going about it the wrong way. And God says, that you should hold your body back unto the Lord. There's a married person here today, and you're cheating on your wife, and you won't be blessed that way, because God said when you made that commitment that day that she would be the only one for this lifetime, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of any and all of that, he wants you to be committed. And when you're committed to this one woman, because of God's sake, he can bless you, even regardless of the trials, even regardless of the tribulation. He can bless you. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, you got to stop holding back. You're holding back on the Lord. You're holding back on God. Wants you to be loosed and set free. Hello, somebody. Somebody this morning, God wants you to be loose and set free. I better move on because I'm supposed to keep it short this morning. Let me move on. Let's go to this last point. We talked about stretching for a blessing. We talked about striving. You got to strive for this thing. You've got to lay aside that sin that so easily entangles you. You've got to do as Paul says, suppress towards the mark of the upward call in Christ Jesus. You've got to offer God a better sacrifice. And that's what Abel did, as Hebrews 11:4 said, that he offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. Are you going to be a Abel Christian or are you going to be a Cain Christian? Hello, somebody. You're going to be an Abel Christian or are you just going to raise Cain up in the church all the time? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Somebody get that on the way home. Let me move forward. Strengthening for the blessing. He goes on to say, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Strengthen your stakes. I don't know anything about tent making, but this sounds like they were putting out a tent probably the size of the Barnum Bailey Circus, you know, trying to stretch that thing out. And once you stretched it out, you got to pull up. And I've seen Reverend Ford do this at and some of the others when we were on a Christ on the corner over there. And they had to pull the car. They had to pull the car, pull, strengthen the stakes so the foundation could be carried. Hello, somebody. You got to pull. You got to strengthen. You got to pull the stakes to strengthen it. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to pull those stakes, to strengthen the stakes. And I believe that strengthening is in the area of our finances. We've got to strengthen the stakes. I thank those who tried God and have given to God and are not guilty anymore of that 2:11 robbing God. But now we've got to strengthen the stakes. We all got to buy into this, and we're going to show you a picture of where we're going, and we've all got to buy into it. We all got to get our own courts, and we all have to strengthen our own courts and play our role in what God wants us to do and to get this building built in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, it's time to strengthen. We want to encourage your heart and mind before we go and open the doors of the church. God, as you commit yourself unto him, as you try him, as you stop holding back. I'm not saying that times won't get hard at times, but I am saying that God's blessing will follow you like goodness and mercy that follows you all the days of your life. As a matter of fact, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose heart are fully committed to him. Fully committed to him. We're asking you this morning to be fully committed to God and to be fully committed to our church as God has called us to do this for such a time as this, for such a time as now, in Jesus' name. We talked about the end times in Sunday school. We know that we are in the beginning of the end times. God is not going to come back until his church completes her task.
There's some more souls that needs to be saved. There's some more people that need to be transformed into the image of Christ. We've got to be about what we're talking about this Sunday, Mission Sunday. We've got to be on mission. We've got to be on point. We've got to do what God has called us to do for such a time as this, in Jesus' name. Deacons, will you come? All eyes closed, heads bowed. Saints are praying. This morning we're going to allow you to respond to the word of God. There's some here today that need to respond. There's some who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got to give your life to Him, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you've never heard the story about Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying and sweat drops of blood, because he had to do God's will as opposed to his own will in the flesh, and he had to pray, nevertheless, not my will but thy will be done. And God's will for him at that time would be that he would have to die for the sins of the world. He got up out of that prayer meeting, and they commit him of crimes that he didn't commit. They mocked him, they scorned him, they whooped him, they put a cross on his back, and led him through the streets of Jerusalem. And when they led him through the streets of Jerusalem, they got him to a place called Golgotha. They laid their cross down and they nailed him to that cross. And when they nailed him to that cross, they raised him up between two thieves, as if to say that he was one of them. But Jesus still had enough power to come up off of that cross. But so he had to give his spirit over unto God and die for the sins of the world. And they took his body off that cross, and they laid him in a bar of tomb, and the Bible says that he lay dead that first day and that second day. But we rejoice and sing that barren woman's song. On that third day, he got up with all power in his hands. On that third day, he got up with all power in his hands, and it's that resurrection power that can raise you right now. Oh, and puts you into a personal relationship with God. We want you to come right now. If you need to get your life right with God, give yourself, give your soul, give your life to Christ.
Hello again,
come
this
forward
is Pastor
right
Michael
now.
Eton.
There may be
I've
somebody
been your host
else
for
to
today's
baptized
program.
You've accepted
before
him,
we
but
sign
you
off,
baptized. There
we just
want to
make sure
that
you have a personal relationship
right now,
with God.
You
know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if We're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China. We're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior Lord. Pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Pauls Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in an economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Pauls Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com.